Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Alright, when you hear that sound, you definitely know it's something Africa, and that is ushering you into this week's edition of your Afrocentric magazine show on Radio Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana, your Afrocentric station, the ultimate one in the UK and perhaps the only one in the whole of Manchester. Welcome to this week edition of the show once again. My name is Chris Okunua, and I've got my regular partner on the show, I'm passing off Emmanuel Etim. We call him Emmiet, the golden voice of Nigerian's podcast. It's always a delight and pleasure to have you around, Emmiet.
Big pleasure, Chris. Good evening. Yeah, good afternoon. It depends on, you know, wherever they listen.
Yeah, where you're listening to us. But
it's big pleasure being on the show. Always good to have you again, Chris.
Yeah, thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Last time out, I monitored from where I was when you had fought and did an incredible job. I enjoy every beat, you know, of the show last time listening to you where I was. And today we're back and to just, this show, in case you don't know, just to give you stories of African interests in the right perspective, all right? It's more of, you know, changing the narratives around motherland Africa. A lot of stories are told about Africa, and these stories are not shared accurately. They paint a certain picture, but on this show, what we do is just to give you as it is, the true stories as it affect us or as it relates to Africa. So on this show, we have different segments. We have the news and current affairs segment. That's where we get to bring you happenings around Africa or happenings around the world with African interest. And we bring you the culture and tourism segment. On this particular segment, what we do is just to showcase a particular culture in Africa. You know, we always preach to people in diaspora, people of African origin living outside of the continent, to go back home. Not necessarily to stay if you're not ready to stay, but to explore the continent. You get to appreciate being African. When you go to Africa, you see real and natural beauty. You see the wonders of the world right here in Africa. So that's what we always do with this segment. Particularly, we showcase a particular culture, and try to tell you things you can enjoy, things you can see as tourist, tourism attraction over there. And today we have a particular culture we'll be talking about. It's in Nigeria. We've been around Africa. We've been to North Africa, South, East, West and Central Africa, and today we are in West Africa, Nigeria, to be precise. I think the last time we talked about a particular culture in Nigeria was the Yoruba. So today we're talking about a particular culture in Nigeria. Just so you know, when you talk Africa, you don't talk about a country, you talk about a continent with about 54 recognized countries, sovereign countries. And within the countries as well, we have different cultures. Nigeria is a country of multi ethnicity and culture. We're talking about 300, I think, or maybe more than that. Yeah. So we've just talked about a culture in Nigeria, and today we'll be talking about a particular culture or tribe or ethnic group as well. So just stick around there, you'll get to know the tribe we'll be talking about today. And also we have the entertainment segment. What entertainment now without the input of Africa? You know, the fever of Afropop across the world. So we always bring you entertainment from Africa. I mean, entertainment news as well from Africa. And we tend to end it all with the segment we have a bit of bias for. I always say that. I'm not ashamed to say that. That was a sports segment, you know, of the show. That's where we get to round up the show, and we bring you the latest happening when it comes to sport with African interest. Without further ado, we'd like to get into business on the show today. And this one is a remarkable, is a positive news as far as I'm concerned. And this has to do with a country in Central Africa, with Rwanda. I understand Rwanda is in East Africa, but we are talking Democratic Republic of Congo, a country that has been at war, series of crisis and conflict for decades, and it got renewed every now and then. But it is a landmark breakthrough now in the pursuit of peace, in the pursuit of normalcy in, you know, Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly the eastern region of the country, talking Goma. Now, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo have signed a peace deal in Washington aimed at ending decades of devastating conflict between the two neighbors and potentially granting the U.S. a lucrative mineral access. The deal demands the disengagement, disarmament, and conditional integration of armed groups fighting in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. Further details are scant, and previous peace deals in the region have failed. Yet, that has not deterred the U.S. and Congolese president from framing these as a generational victory. That's what I call it, Emiet. This country is immensely rich, talking Democratic Republic of Congo, in terms of resources, you name it. Anything that has to do with electronics, I mean, you don't look beyond Democratic Republic of Congo if you're looking for the resources. The one you use on your phone's battery, laptop, cobalt, you find it in abundance in Democratic Republic of Congo. But this rich country in terms of resources has never been at peace for long. And now the U.S. President, Donald Trump, he likes to blow his trumpet when he achieves some sort of, bringing warring factions together.
He's just done something now.
The Rwanda authority as well. I think the deal was signed formally by the foreign minister of Rwanda and Democratic Republic of Congo, with Donald Trump there, you know, formalizing it. Now peace, hopefully, will reign in Democratic Republic of Congo. Normalcy will return, and the country will experience development that they truly yearn for and deserve. But the twist is that this is giving the U.S. access to Democratic Republic of Congo mineral resources.
Well, they've always had opportunities to gain access to certain natural resources of countries, using diplomatic routes to do it. Then, if it's about them trying to help foster the peace between these countries, then there will always be benefit. I don't think the United States or any world powers, they call them, I don't want to use the word invade countries, go to countries just because they care about the people. No, they care about what the country, like you've just mentioned, how rich some of the natural resources the Congo have at the moment. Well, not at the moment, it's been there and it would always be there. So I think it's normal. First, it's exhausting, you know, when we talk about countries being at war, Chris, and it's African countries, and you wonder to what end. It's very tiring, but I think it's a good step. The question is, you know, if this would be implemented.
Anything that brings peace, but at times you just want to take a look at the cost. Because the bane of Africa as a continent is that the continent obviously is rich, not just in natural or mineral resources, even human resources. But why is it a problem for Africa to harness its resources and make the best use of it? Now, the US having access to the DRC, I'm not saying, look, no country is going to get, is going to develop on its own. You need to relate, you need to have some sort of ties with other countries. That's when you get to reap the benefit that come with your resources. But then the way it's been done with African countries, what is very worrisome to many of us. Why is it practically impossible to have these resources refined, you know, produce into a final product in Africa? At the end of the day, what we're likely going to have is to have these resources taken to US or elsewhere, refined, reproduce into something that will be much more expensive and much more of economic benefit than it rusted outside of Africa.
I mean, it's a big question, and again, it just falls on the table of leadership. I just think genuinely that's what it is. If someone comes into power, Chris, and all they think about is embezzlements, because they know they'll be there potentially for eight years.
Yeah.
Or in certain countries where they take charge, they could stay for 20, 30 years and still leave the countries underdeveloped. So it's foundational. It's leadership. Most of Africa's problems have been, you know, those who we have at the helm. And it's not just political, even in private sectors too. When certain things aren't working, you don't look at the manpower, because they exist. It's those who are in charge of it. If their interest is there to make things better, you know, I always say this, of course, this is a live broadcast. I say, I'm not concerned about politicians who embezzle. If you embezzle, it's fine. But as long as you provide what they essentially call basic amenities, if the people drive on the road in Kigali, in Rwanda, or somewhere in the DRC, and you don't have bombs, if there's 24-hour power supply, they don't care if you're stealing billions of dollars. As long as they have access to this basic thing. I'm not saying that's the way to go.
That's not the standard, obviously.
That's not the standard, yeah.
But you're just saying that Africans are just asking for the basic things.
The basic.
Yeah.
The basic.
Good road, good water, good healthcare system, and all of that. That's it. Well, hopefully, someday.
Someday, so.
That's what we keep saying, but we hope that in real time, just the producer in the studio here is not even having it anymore. But we just hope that someday, indeed, it will be someday, you know. All right, we're going to leave Goma in Democratic Republic of Congo now. We're going to East Africa proper. It's another welcome development, if you ask me. And this is between, this is in Ethiopia and Eritrea. When you talk about these countries in the Horn of Africa, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia, they are almost synonymous to conflict every now and then as well. But there seems to be some sort of reprieve for families that have been displaced or separated from one another for over 5 years now. Now, there have been celebrations at the border between Ethiopia and Eritrea as communities from the frontier villages came together for the first time in 5 years. Separated by the closed border since the outbreak of the 2020 conflict in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region and subsequent political tensions, last Sunday's coming together was a symbolic moment of peace and reconciliation. The reunion of families and friends took place in the Ethiopian town of Zalembenza, in the presence of village elders and religious leaders. Wow. The move to reopen a section of the border was organized by local activists and community figures without the official backing of the authorities on either side. But those behind it indicated that they had the blessing from officials in Tigray and Eritrea. Many at the celebration describe it as an emotional and long overdue gathering. You know what cut my fancy in this one? The authority of both the Tigray region and the central power in Ethiopia are really not involved in this. This is from activists, community leaders, religious leaders. Come on, we are going to dismantle this, you know, artificial, militarized border that has prevented us from crossing, you know, to one another, meeting with our brothers across the divide. But they do say that the authorities have an input in it, maybe in the background, but at the forefront of all this arrangement, we have the religious leaders, the community leaders, and activists. So definitely beyond the government, individuals and group of people as well can champion the cause for peace and reconciliation, and result could be achieved.
Hopefully, Chris.
Hopefully, that's what you say, because even government-backed peace agreement are always fragile at times.
It's the bane of the continent, but hopefully the key thing is to ensure that we record as large-scale peace as we can. It's just what we're hoping for.
Yeah, it is what we're hoping for in motherland Africa. And this one, are we going to Zimbabwe? Yeah, I told you last time we have some decent Zimbabwe community in the UK.
There's a lot.
So I definitely feel this will call their fancy or call their attention. The Caesar, beg your pardon, I'm just turning. Yeah, I'll start from here now. A quarter of a century after their land was seized during a chaotic land reform program that made global headlines, a small group of white Zimbabwe farmers have accepted a controversial compensation deal from the government. Once the backbone of the country's agricultural sector, many of them are now elderly, visibly frail, battling illness, and financially desperate. I believe this is the only opportunity. We can't wait 10 years for another deed. That's coming from a 71-year-old Besley, a white Zimbabwean, commenting on this deed that they've accepted from the government. Still recuperating from a back surgery, Mr. Besley was among those who arrived earlier this year at a conference room in the capital, Harare, some aided by walking sticks and walking frames to discuss the deed. The catch is that these farmers have now been paid only 1% of their total compensation in cash. The rest is being issued as a US dollar denominated treasury bond that matured in 10 years with 2% interest paid twice a year. This is mega.
It's huge. Yeah, it is huge.
It's too little. That's what I mean.
Is it?
Yeah, 1% of the cash reward is going to be paid, and they'll have it in bond, and then 2% interest rate. But in the next 10 years, we're talking about people in their 70s.
If they live that long,
If they live that long.
Yeah.
If you remember this land repeal bill, it was introduced, I think, in the year 2000 by Robert Mugabe to take land off the white Zimbabweans. Well, I wouldn't really want to go into this, because there's no talking about the Zimbabwe land issues without generating some sort of controversy. How the white Zimbabweans amass 50% of the land to themselves, and or acquire, let me not use the word amass, acquire or got the right to about 50% of the land. Now, I think they represent just about 4% of the Zimbabwe population. They have the right to about 50% of the land in Zimbabwe, and Robert Mugabe sometime in 2000 signed a controversial bill that took the land off of the white farmer. It's a long-standing issue for over 25 years or thereabout now. But then, finally, if they've reached some sort of agreement with the government, they're going to be paid just 1%. That's the cash worth now. They're going to be paid 1% of what their land is worth in cash, then the rest will be some sort of bond in US denomination, in US dollar denomination, with 2% interest in the next 10 years. Well, just like one of the farmers said, what are we going to do? Definitely, you don't expect them to wait another 10 years. So they just have to accept this.
Do they have a choice?
I don't think they do. You remember that, or that of South Africa and the authority, still very much fresh, and Donald Trump tend to intervene a bit, and that also generated a lot of controversy as well. So the issue of land between
for the South Africans, the Afrikaners. As
yeah, the Afrikaners.
Yeah, Afrikaners, as they call them.
Yeah, it's a bit controversial. Yeah. What the other folks or the government in these countries, particularly South Africa, maybe Zimbabwe, are saying, how did you acquire this land in the first place? Yeah. You know, the field is not
legal.
It's not legal. It's not legit. Like we like to say it in the streets in Nigeria. That's what I say. But the others, the white farmers, we always argue them their cases as well.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Neither here nor there for me, if you ask me. All right, let's see if we can take just one more story from the current affairs segment of African Weekly. Well, this one is from Nigeria, Emiet. It's about the TASB that has just been signed into law in Nigeria. Mm. Nigeria's President Bola Ahmed Tinubu has signed 4-year finance bills into law in a set of major reforms aimed at restructuring the TASB system in Africa's most populous nation. The government says that the new laws will simplify revenue collection, reduce the tax burden of some individuals and businesses, while also helping to raise much-needed government income revenue by making collection more efficient. The tax reforms will protect low-income households and support workers by expanding their disposable income, said President Tinubu in a statement to mark the second anniversary of his administration last month. All right, just a quick breakdown. The four new laws are the Nigerian Tax Act, which merges various rules into a single, easier to understand code and eliminates more than 50 small overlapping taxes. The presidency has said that reducing the number of taxes and eliminating duplication will make doing business much more easier. The Tax Administration Act is the second one, which sets common rules for how taxes are collected across federal, state, and local government. The third, the Nigerian Revenue Service Act, which replaces the Federal Inland Revenue Service, FRS, with a new independent agency, the Nigerian Revenue Service. That's some sort of name change there, Emiet. Okay. The Joint Revenue Board Act, which improves coordination between levels of government and create a tax ombudsman and tax appeal tribunal to resolve dispute. We just don't want to go into details of this because of time, but from what I understand, if you are a Nigerian and you earn a million naira, your first 200,000 naira will not be taxed. That's just to give you some relief, you know.
Okay.
But for the low income,
You say low income, what do you mean? For 20,000 people?
Definitely those who are earning below 200,000, they'll probably not get taxed from what I can understand now.
Oh, that's fine.
I still have to take a look at it properly and study it in details. It seems to favor the low incomers, and but generally what people are saying is not just about the amount we are paying. What are we doing with the tax that has been collected? That's the question I may add. Just like our producer is asking you here with his gesture.
Building bridges.
Building bridges and the coastal highway, right? And
ask your question to the politician today.
That's what the people are saying. That's the reaction to the tax fee in Nigeria. Okay, it's fine. You're making some reform.
Let's see what we're
doing. You've been taxing and you've been generating revenue from other sources like the crude oil and all of that. What have you been doing with the money? Why am I going to pay you tax when you've not been able to give me good road, good water, electricity that is very stable and all of that? Maybe President Ahmed Tinubu will probably set it straight now and do things better.
He should. He might just have 1 tenure, so you never know.
All right.
Just kidding.
All right. All right, we're going to take a pause here now, and when we come back, like I've hinted, it will be time to go on straight to talk culture and tourism segment. I mean, talk about culture and tourism on this show. For now, we're going to take a pause, and this one is from late legendary Nigerian singer Fela Anikulapokuti.
Abamieda,
Baba 70. He called his one Beast of No Nation. We'll be back.
Radio Africana.
Right, a rehouse of SI by late Lucky Dube. Not just South Africa or Africa, the world reggae sensation. You know, whenever you hear these songs from Lucky Dube, I think Bob Marley gave you the same effect as well. You realize some people have really contributed to this world with their craft in a great way.
Yeah, man.
Minister of Lucky Dube continue to rest in peace, and that of Fela and Nicola Kpokuti as well, two late legends of Africa, have gone to the world beyond. But today we're still enjoying their piece of work, you know, and like you used to say, they've really nourished us,
you know,
musically on this show today. Right. So we're gonna move on the show now, and it is time for us to talk culture. We're talking about I'm finally going to let it out now, and that is the Hausa people of Nigeria. Yeah,
Sanuku.
Yeah, Sanuku, and that's where I know Emmy it definitely should come in, because
I don't speak Hausa, no. But I like them.
You were born in the northern part of Nigeria.
I was born in Jos, yes.
In Jos. Yeah, yeah. Jos.
Oh, yes.
Like, rightly called by the local Jos, yes. Right? It's not an Hausa. It's not Hausa city, so to speak. But Hausa is widely spoken in Jos. And they are somehow influenced by the Hausa people.
Yeah.
So
true.
That's why I feel this is your thing, really. Because I was not born in the northern part of Nigeria. But I've been to Trust me, now I've been to how many states in northern Nigeria now? I've been to at least 15 states in northern Nigeria, so I know the influence Hausa has gotten in the northern part of Nigeria. And what people tend to, the mistake people tend to make, not even outside of Nigeria, within Nigeria, is that there's this, should I use the word political now? There's this political grouping that tend to put Hausa, Fulani together, but they are not same. You know, we have Fulani as a different ethnic group, then we have Hausa as a different ethnic group. Hausa are the real majority in northern Nigeria. Some argue perhaps they are the majority in Nigeria, or maybe just share the same population with the Yoruba in Nigeria. That's if you don't add the Fulani to the Hausa. But these days it's very difficult for people to differentiate between Hausa and Fulani because of the political bloc, the form. The grouping now is Hausa Fulani, but originally these are two separate people. But they've come together politically and also religiously as well. Yeah. So, but these are two different tribes or two different ethnic groups. We've talked about Fulani before on this show, and if you remember, we emphasized that Fulani are not limited to Nigeria. We have Fulani in different part of West Africa, Central Africa, and some other part of Africa as well. Senegal, Guinea, Mali, Cameroon, and all of that. But Hausa, we have Hausa in Niger, I think pocket of Hausa communities in Chad as well, but predominantly they are more concentrated in Nigeria and of course in Niger as well. So that's just to tell you the difference, that Hausa and Fulani are not really the same ethnic group. So today we're going to be talking about the Hausa people of Nigeria, and we hope we'll be able to educate you, you know, teach you about the Hausa people. Hausa culture, primarily found in West Africa, is a rich tapestry of traditions, social structures, and artistic expressions. It's characterized by a strong emphasis on family and community, Islamic influence, unique architectural styles, and vibrant artistic traditions like music, dance, and fashion. And the key aspect of Hausa culture is the social structure. Hausa society is hierarchical, with distinct classes and levels of prestige. Social interaction is often governed by elaborate etiquette, and titles are used when addressing individuals. Family and marriage. Now, family is central, with strong emphasis on kinship and patrilineal descent. Marriage is often arranged with close kin, especially cousins, being preferred partners, according to an article on Hausa culture. I think, Emiet, you want to buttress this, that in terms of marriage is often arranged with close kin, especially cousins. All right, I'll just move on because of time. Islam is, talking about a religion, Islam is the dominant religion in Hausa culture, influencing many aspects of their life, including social customs and legal system. The language is Afro-Ishartic of the Chadic group, right? Not Niger Congo. So that's to tell you that across the divide of the Niger in Nigeria, mostly in southern Nigeria, the language of the Niger Congo family. But for the Hausa people, their language is grouped in the Afro-Ishartic family, that's the Chadic group. Traditional attire. Hausa traditional clothing is known for its colorful and unique designs, with men often wearing flowing gowns like the Bambariga. And then the artistic expressions. Hausa culture boasts a rich tradition of music, dance, and storytelling, often accompanying social events and religious ceremonies. The economy. The Hausa economy has historically been based on agriculture, with crops like sorghum, maize, and millet being cultivated. The festivals. Now, the Hausa festival, the Hausa celebrate festival like Hawan Sala, which is a significant event in their cultural calendar. Like you said, they've been so much influenced by their religion, Islam. So basically, all of their traditional culture, indigenous culture, practice or festival has given way to practice or festivals that are associated with Islam. So there's nothing really unique now when you talk about the festivals, because it's just about Salah and every other thing that we have in every other Islamic society or civilization. But then the Hausa people are indeed a wonderful ethnic group in Nigeria, very hospitable, that I can say about the Hausa people. Within Nigerians, the Hausa are seen as a very trustworthy people. I mean, yet I think you agree with me on this one. Very trustworthy people as well. And politically, the bloc that they've been able to form with the Fulani give them perhaps a real strength when you talk politics in Nigeria. If you want to visit Hausa land, what are the things or places you could go to? Now, Hausa land offers a variety of tourist attractions, including historical sites, cultural experiences, and natural wonders. Key attractions include the Emir's Palaces. That's the Emir Palace in Kano, in Sokoto, you name it. Every Hausa city is now ruled over by an Emir, not necessarily of Hausa origin anyway. But then their palaces are indeed a tourist attraction on their own. Apart from the Emir palaces, the ancient city walls and gate, Gindam Makama Museum, Kumi Market, and unique natural landmarks like Dala Hill and Farirua Waterfalls. Yeah, so that's just the beat on the culture and tourism segment of the show, because time far spent, we still have the entertainment and sports segment to cover on this show, African Weekly, live on Radio Africa. Now we're going to take another pause, and we're going to enjoy something from Jeremiah Kien. Yeah, this song is a bit of a rendition in Hausa, so let's nourish ourselves with this one from Jeremiah Kien, a song he sang in Hausa, Nabaka he called it. a beautiful gospel rendition by Jeremiah here in the house, just like we the producer here is wondering where is he now. Beautiful rendition. I think this song came out at a few years after the turn of the century, in the back there from Jeremiah here. Right now we move on to entertainment story, and we're going to run through these, and this one is about Cynthia Mong, the German Jewish crooner, has come out to clarify that look, the video you saw on the internet recently, is not a recent video, because some of her fans saw an old video of Cynthia Mong on the internet and they were so concerned and worried about her well-being and all of that. But she came out to address or clarify the situation that she is in a better place now. Cynthia Mong is one of, should I say, Afropop queen Nigerian before now, but like some people will say, she fell off for some reason. Some accuses her, rather her former record label, that's not side music.
That's P Square.
That's the P Square brothers, the label,
Jude and Angels
Okoye and all of that, for her travails or downfall or for her falling in love and all of that. But she's come out now that she's in a better place. She's fine, and the video circulating in the social media. It's an old video, and she thanks those who have set up a GoFundMe account for her, possibly to facilitate her comeback into the industry. But she's clarifying now that, look, I'm not too sold out on making music anymore. If you just want to make music now, just do it for the fun or pleasure of it. That's like, she's not ruling it out 100%, but now that's not the aim. That's not the objective. I think she said she's involved in other stuff like real estate and the gospel and all of that. Whatever she lay her hands on, we hope that she finds success and she find her faith again, find happiness, of course. All right, that's just the much we can take on the entertainment segment of the show. We're going to go on straight to talk sport within a second, because we really do not have time yet. We can have a pause for music. Let's just go on straight to sport. Welcome back to Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. Now this is the last segment of the show, the sports segment, and we're starting in Africa as usual. We're talking about the African Women Cup of Nations. The tournament kickoff is drawing nearer. I think next week, Saturday, just a week from now, the tournament will get underway in Morocco, the host nation, taking on Zambia. Record 9-time champions Nigeria also in action on the opening weekend, facing Tunisia in Group B, while holders South Africa begin the defense of their title against Ghana in Group C on the 7th of July. Alright, but quickly, we just want to run through the fixtures, the venues and the grouping as well. C Stadium will be used in 5 host cities, with 2 in Casablanca. Olympic Stadium in Rabat, that's a 21,000 capacity stadium. El Bachir Stadium in Mohammedia, 15,000 capacity. Labi Zouani Stadium in Casablanca, the capacity is 30,000. Pierre Diego Stadium in Casablanca, 10,000. The Honier Stadium in Ojoa, the capacity is 19,800, and the Bekane Stadium in Bekane, capacity of 15,000. Morocco always coming to the rescue for Africa.
Top country.
And you look at these facilities, top-notch facilities. And for the groupings, in Group A, we have, I just don't want to go through the fixtures, but I'd just like us to have a feel of how this team are pitted against one another. Unfortunately, there is no breakdown of the group, but in Group A, we have Senegal, and Ivory Coast. And the Group B, we have Nigeria and Tunisia. So Nigeria will be in action against Tunisia in the next weekend as well, as the tournament get underway. South Africa and Ghana, we also do battle too. They are in the same group. So a lot of tough groups here in this tournament. And African women's football has really, you know, become competitive. Before now, it used to be mere formality. Most of us believe going into the tournament, it's definitely going to be Nigeria winning it. But the last one Nigeria didn't win it was South Africa. We've had Equatorial Guinea, I think, you know, breaking the flow for Nigeria. Now that Morocco are the host nation, you trust Morocco. They always want to do something to unseat the so-called powerhouses when it comes to women football in Africa. But you still want to reckon that the tournament is Nigeria's to lose.
By reputation, Chris, yes. Going into any tournament that has to do with women's football on the continent, you have to prioritize the Nigerian team as potential champions in your analysis and your breakdown and teams to watch out for. The Falcons will always be number one. But you just mentioned the South Africans, defending champions. There's always this oomph about, you know, teams coming to defend their title. Morocco would have home support. They did good also the last tournament, finishing third or fourth or so, or second thereabout, but they were really impressive. There's also Zambia in there to compete, so it'll be quite the tournament. It's hard to predict, but by reputation Nigeria, by heart Nigeria, by quality Nigeria, it's a team that has an assemblage of experience, youth, and a desire to win. I think it would be surprising to see them not be champions. Losing back to back, it's not what the Super Falcons do, it's what the Super Eagles do.
Not the Super Falcons. Okay, now let's leave the African Women Championship. And just so you know, today the Federation Cup in Nigeria, the final between Kwara United and Abakaliki FC, we go down. I think the game should be on right now. Yeah, the Mobalaji Stadium in Lagos, that's the former Lagos Stadium. Definitely, you find it difficult to look beyond Kwara United, who are a traditional Nigerian top flight teams, against the team playing in the lower division in the final. So definitely on paper it does seem Kwara United are the favorite, but Abakaliki FC on their own have proven to be giant killers, you know, in the tournament. Their historic run to the final means definitely Kwara United don't want to underrate Abakaliki FC. And now let's move away from Nigeria. Let's talk about the Club World Cup. Al Ahly, Experience, Sundown and Wydad have all been eliminated from the FIFA Club World Cup going on in the US. You know, none of them made it to the round of 16. Are you surprised by this? You know,
not surprised. No, the fact that they weren't embarrassed, Chris, which is the delight. None of them, you know, got pumped like Auckland City that got by his goal. So they showed quality. They scored first in some of the games. I think it was the last fixture for Wydad. I don't think many people would have expected them to go as far as the quarters or semi-finals. They gave a decent outing. The Confederation Cup, or the Club World Cup rather, has been a tournament of just two continents, Europe and South America. But Africa had its own fair share of representation, and the boys did well, yes.
They did well. All right, Africa out of the party, US, that's the African reps, and the tournament continues. And I think we're having the round of 16 now. The big one the world has been talking about is the one involving Paris Saint-Germain and Inter Miami. That is Lionel Messi against his former side. And then many are saying, okay, we've seen Nuno Mendes against Lamine Yamal. We've seen him against a couple of other gifted players like Bukayo Saka. He's been able to hold his own. Is he going to do the same against Lionel Messi? That's talking about Paris Saint-Germain left fullback, you know, Nuno Mendes. He's going to be up against Lionel Messi tomorrow in one of the round of 16 fixtures. But today first, we'll have two games, and that's Palmeiras versus Botafogo. That's two Brazilian teams there going head-to-head in the round of 16. That speaks volume about the quality of, you know, the football there, not just in Brazil but also in South America.
Yeah,
because the team from South America did well in this tournament. I already told you. We also have today Benfica taking on Chelsea. I told you already, it's going to be Paris Saint-Germain versus Inter Miami CF tomorrow. Then Flamengo, another Brazilian side, against Bayern Munich. Inter, we also square it up with Fluminense. That's tomorrow as well. Inter Fluminense, Natasha Mother, beg your pardon, that's another Brazilian side there. Manchester City will take on Al Hilal on Tuesday. Then Real Madrid is going to be Real Madrid versus Juventus. Then the round will conclude with Borussia Dortmund versus Montreal. Oh, I feel we should talk about transfer before we say our bye, because the summer transfer window is open. We talk about Victor Osimhen. Osimhen has been, you know, linked with several clubs, but nothing seems to be materializing at this time. Mega deal from Al Hilal, but Osimhen turned it down. And Galatasaray on their part are trying to do everything possible to retain him, sign him permanently from Napoli. A host of English teams have showed some sort of interest, but nothing is moving, you know, in terms of, you know, getting these deals across the line.
Well, hopefully it's sorted before the new season starts. At the moment, he's just enjoying his holiday
in Nigeria.
He bought himself a rose and he's cruising, and it's deservedly so. He's hustled himself all through last season. England, I think that's my hope for him. If it doesn't, then...
So we could get to see him here as well.
We just definitely have the homeboy back where, you know, most Nigerians are. If not, go to Spain, or don't go back to Italy. Just choose Spain, England, or Germany.
Yeah,
because he's made for Europe. That's all.
Why he's turned down the deal from Al Hilal. Yeah. And I heard Al Hilal are not giving up on him just yet. Anyway, All right, that will be the size of the show today. Africa Weekly live on Radio Africana. We'll be back next week Saturday. The time is 4 p.m. Do keep a date. Thank you so much, Emiet, for turning up once more.
Always a pleasure, bro.
Yeah, my name is Chris Okunua. We'll be here next week Saturday to bring you a fresh edition of the show Africa Weekly. We're leaving you with this one from the lady we talk about in the entertainment segment, Cynthia Moga. She called this one Simatinya. We'll be back.
Get your latest songs on entertainmentredefund.com.
Yo, boy, already here is that man. Even if me left,
awesome.
You're the one me going run back to sex. From the east to the west, to the north to the south, you the one I can confide in. And I know that you know in your heart and your soul, I'm the one you can rely on. Say my senior, see what you done to me. Say my senior, see what you done to me. Me loving bad past me new design. Number one, cardinal fish. Met him back in August, but he not a scene. Original, I've been made in China. But anyway, no matter than you, no matter than you. Him me, you always have a backup. Like I drive, every time you go and back up. For me, you burn up the gear. You tell him back up, I'm taking. You tell him, you got the baddest for the orders. You careless, like a lotion, my body, you careless. From the east to the west, to the north, to the south, to the moon, I could confide in. And I know that you know in your heart, in my soul, I'm the one you can rely on. Say my senior, see what you done to me. Say my senior, see what you done to me. We used to care word in public talk, enough a matter. Now it's other ways. Like Twitter, me mute a block. Well, let me say, none sweeter than I, none better than I. Yeah, me just wanna get a end dive, just wanna stay alive. Me with me spliff and me buck watch and pain. I weep up on the stairs and the back on me stroll. And me puff, me stay wasted and me neighbors not a new starter. Me tell me friend and blow the speaker, see them go and pack up. From the east to the west, to the north, to the south, to the world I could confide in. And I know that you know in your heart and my soul, I'm the one you can rely on. Say my senior, see what you done to me. Say my senior, see what you done to me. And the sweet we share, the smiles and the tears we share. Oh yeah, yeah. The liquor and the weed we share. Buzz you when me need my head feel clear. Oh yeah, yeah. Bring the best out of me. Hey, the better in me. You my best and friend. Where you start the way ends. Only with you I really know what love me. And so I say, I do. To the north, to the south, you know where I could confide in. And I know that you know in your heart and your soul. To my senior, see what you done to me. To my senior, see what you done to me. What you done to me. to the west. You are the best, better than the rest.
This is Manchester's Afrobeat station.
And I do what make me happy, and nobody can deny me that I'm blessed. I might be rough around the edges, maybe yes. I keep it nappy, and I do what make me happy, and nobody can deny me that I'm blessed. Self-preservation, self-elevation. These kind of these days deserve celebration. No hesitation, no reservation. Go for the big leagues, no relegation. Let's celebrate life, kick back and take five, and give thanks to the source that create life. To see a sunset or see a sunrise, and see my son born with these same eyes. To see my son smile bright in every gray sky. He's growing so fast, that's why every day I give it 100, now stop at 90. Praise the Almighty, the Father and 90.
I'm feeling blessed, oh. Say tonight me and my guys, we don't can't get through. Whoa, 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 whoa. Say tonight my no go stress, oh. Say tonight me and my guys, we don't can't get through. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Make I tell you, say my life is like a movie. And if I tell you all these things, I don't see truly. Say my eyes don't see before my life come be. Say many try to fool me, but I dey pray for my enemies and truly. And I dey pray for my keys, that's my blessings. Pray for the friends I lost, I pray you never see no loss. Yeah, cause one pressure, feet turn to pressure. I don't see where pressure make man record. Yeah, so make you live your life, oh judge and no regret. I'm up with my pressure, now got it. Man, don't get control, my brother make you know. Life where I dey live, say I dey live, I'm on a low. Hustle every day, I'm willing just to take control. Never buy the money, man, I'm staying in my zone. Yeah,
say tonight, man, feeling blessed, oh. Say tonight, me and my guys, we don't come, baby. Whoa, 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 whoa. Say tonight, man, no go stress, oh. Say tonight, me and my guys, we don't come, baby. Whoa, 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 whoa.
See, I don't wanna talk about the things that go really, really make me down tonight. Say, I don't wanna talk about the things that go, 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 make me frown tonight. Say, I just wanna hold on to my corner with my lady, make she cool me down. Say, I just wanna hold on to my corner with my lady, make she cool me down.
I might be rough around the edges, maybe, yes. I keep it nappy and I do what make me happy, and nobody can deny me that I'm blessed. I might be rough around the edges, maybe, yes. Keep it nappy and I do what make me happy, and nobody can deny me that I'm blessed.
So to me, I'm feeling blessed.